From the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not by natural generation, not by human choice, not by man's decision, but by God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory. The glory is of the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace on top of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Little children, it is the last hour. Occasionally I love these coincidences in sacred scripture, which are not so coincidental, but providential. As we come to the last hours of civil year 2018, we're called to ponder some essential truths. And the Church gives us these words of St. John in his first letter to lead directly into what he says after. This contrast between accepting Christ, whom we have been honoring at Nativity as God with us, and the rejection of Christ, which takes the form of the Antichrist that St. John describes. The Antichrist is not Satan. The Antichrist, as St. John tells us a little later in his letter, is anyone who doesn't accept what we've been celebrating this last week. Anybody who doesn't accept that God has taken on our humanity and entered into our life so that we might assume his divinity. The context for the letters of the Apostle St. John were the Docetist and Gnostic heresies of the early church. They believed that all matter was evil. And because God was good, God couldn't have assumed any matter. So he couldn't have become incarnate, because that would have assumed his taking on our evil. He couldn't, therefore, have had a nativity. He couldn't have had a crucifixion. He couldn't have given himself to us in the sacraments. The whole faith now changes. And St. John, with simplicity, attacked this Antichrist, the one who opposes who Jesus Christ is, the eternal Son of God made man. At the time when St. John was writing, there were many antichrists. Today, there aren't all that many who would theologically and philosophically refuse to accept the notion that God could become one of us and enter in. We don't think about it that much. But while there aren't all that many theological or theoretical antichrists, except the Muslims, by the way, whose whole religion was founded on rejecting the incarnation, they accept Jesus as a prophet, but not as the eternal Son of God. It's one of the big manifestations still today. There are, including among Christians, many practical antichrists. Those who don't allow the Lord to enflesh himself within every aspect of their life. That's why today, at the end of this civil year, it's good for us to get very practical about the way that we either live with Christ or we refuse to live with Christ in the day-to-day. On December 31st, the church has two practices. The first is the traditional practice of the Te Deum. We'll get there. The second is a review of the year. And I think to do it December 31st exam well, we can learn from the way we do our general exam each night. I've always been influenced by the way that Blessed Alvaro del Portillo has done it, that it's meant to get us to three ways of interacting with the Lord. First, saying thank you. Second, sorry. And third, help me more. We can look at 2018 under that lens, because Jesus wishes to make 2019 build on 2018. At the end of this beautiful prologue of St. John, it says that his plan is to build grace upon grace. But for that to occur in 2019, 2018 has to be a solid foundation. So we start with thanks, then we ask him to bring good even out of our failures, and we turn to him for the help we know we need as we approach the new year. First, thanks. It's interesting then for Don Alvaro. Graces and thank you is the same word in Spanish. Right, gracias. That every time we're saying thanks, we've got to open ourselves up to how God was present right there, blessing us. As you look back over 2018, so many blessings. For me, celebrated 392 Masses, most of them with you. Gone to confession 46 times. Heard thousands of confessions. Celebrated several weddings, done several baptisms. Had so many holy hours. So many times where I've been in the Lord's presence in prayer. So many times where I received the grace of spiritual maturity through you and others. Just, it's a long symphony of gratitude. Likewise, for the Sisters of Life, how many women have said yes to God through you and chosen life? How many vocations have been heard this year where they, in seeing you, saw themselves or who they're called to be? New postulants, the new novices, the professions that were made this year. So many other gifts. Likewise, we've had the gifts of the crosses that the Lord has given us because he's known that we could bear them together with him as an instrument of greater unity. He sent us so much over the course of this year. But it's not just 2018. We go back and we recognize that the grace of 2018, we're building on the grace of 2017 and 2016. And all the way back to the foundation of the world, there's just been one big domino of grace that has been invading our present. And for that we say Te Deum Laudamus, Te Dominum Confitemur. We sing this great hymn of praise to the Lord for it all. We thank God even for our solemn interruptions in the middle of Mass. What a beautiful ringtone. Second thing is sorry. Perdón. Whereas we look back over the last year, we see how many times that we were oblivious to the Lord's action in our life. And not just oblivious, but sometimes in which we rejected it, in which he was giving us a particular call and we just wanted to say no. Maybe it was for a particular form of suffering, physical suffering, or relational suffering. Maybe it was a way that he was asking us to change that we were resisting. At the end of the year, we say perdon. We turn to the Lord and say mercy. We do it not just for ourselves. We likewise do it ecclesiastically, and how much the church needs reparation this year. Pope Francis, 10 days ago, when he greeted the Roman Curia, gave a summary of what the year has been. And he says that the church, the bark of Peter, has been really pounded by the waves this year. He described all those waves. But then he got even more specific, and he said how much the church was betrayed from within. So many consecrated ministers were supposed to be instruments of the Lord's holiness, were instruments of wickedness. And then he got very specific as he can right then. All of this, of what some commentators have called an annus horribilis of 2018, is a means for us to turn to the Lord and say, have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned against you. Knowing that where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace superabounds. And that if we turn to the Lord and beg for his mercy, our state after having received that mercy would be greater, as St. Ambrose insists, than the state we would have been in had we never sinned. So we turn to the Lord at the end of this year and ask him to make this long litany of evil all happy faults. And the third way we finish this year is with a humble petition, Ayúdame más, help me more next year, help me more tomorrow. That we recognize, based on our failures of this last year, that we can't do it on our own. That we need the Lord. And specifically, we need him to incarnate himself into every area of our life, including in those areas where we struggle the most. Say, help me more, Lord, by becoming God with me in that particular circumstance. And we pray for others with this specific intention, that they might open themselves up more and more to the Lord's daily help. That help is not always according to what we expect it will be. Some of the times he will help us in the ways that we would least suspect. Some of the times it might even seem that he's not helping us at all when we cry out to him. Because his plans for our help is going to not only address that situation, but many others at the same time. If only we live that Advent in a holy way, trusting in him, growing in faith. But he wants us at the end of this year, at this last hour, to remember that he is the beginning and the end, Christus, Yeri, Hodie, et Semper, as we will pray at communion tomorrow. Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. And turn to him and entrust ourselves to the way that he wants to build grace upon grace. It is the last hour. Today we come with our Te Deum, begging the Lord to let us hear how glad the heavens are and the real joy of the earth. We ask him to forgive us in every way we need it. And we ask him to make us more and more supple to the help that's on the way. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.